is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome my colleague Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He is based in London. That is critical for the view of the recovery and at the same time the overhang of the pandemic. Joe writes the political economics column for the Wall Street Journal editorial page, observing the European Union economy, the UK economy, which is separate but not exactly equal from the EU, and a relationship to the American economy, with the president outbound for Europe for a meeting in Cornwall, which we will address soon enough. The president's coming to town. We must deal with the pressing headlines now from London, which are surprising, given the positive news of these last weeks about the number of vaccines, the number of vaccinations, and the sense that the Britons had gone back outside, were enjoying the parks and group activities, and even in pubs, where they were admonished by their prime minister, always colorful, not to drink too much. However, the headlines have turned alarming. Millions in Northwest told not to travel. This is the London Times within these hours. Millions of people in Greater Manchester and Lancashire have been urged not to travel to the rest of the country as testing has increased to control the spread of the Indian variant. The military will conduct door-to-door testing for councils that want it. In addition, this is also the London Times, Cabinet Minister rules out summer holidays abroad. A cabinet minister appeared to rule out the possibility of summer holidays abroad today by suggesting that people should take staycations instead of traveling abroad. This is George Eustace, a member of Mr. Johnson's cabinet. George Eustace said he had no intention of taking a foreign holiday this year and insisted that official advice remain to avoid all non-essential travel overseas. We also have the president coming to town, so everything is moving parts. But I go to the Telegraph because that also is what you'd have to say is striking news, especially this. Rapid response teams and military drafted into Indian variant hotspots. That's more of what the Times was pointing to. In other words, if you're in the wrong neighborhood or for the virus, the military will come to your door. And I'm not sure what that means. Will they detain you? Will they in some way embargo your neighborhood? It's all to be determined. Joe, a very good day to you. Good evening to you in London. This looks alarming, but I'm only reading headlines several thousand miles away. How is it on the evening news in London, and has this been going on for several days? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, so we have been concerned about this variant, which used to be called the Indian variant and is now being called the Delta variant because they've switched to Greek letters. And we've been hearing about it for some weeks now because initially there did seem to be reason to be concerned about it. I mean, there's been a suggestion that it does spread a bit more easily than some of the other variants that had been circulating. Whenever any of these variants circulate, there was an initially concern about whether the vaccine will prove effective against them. And yet what we are kind of discovering is a mismatch that is developing between the degree of concern bordering on panic that you hear from some public officials about this variant and the actual situation on the ground. So what we have learned as time has gone on is that it does seem to spread more easily, particularly among younger people who have not been vaccinated yet in the UK's age-based priority groups. And it does sometimes seem to generate more serious illness, but that's off of a very low baseline for this younger group. And so a consequence of that is that you are seeing some uptick in hospitalization. Scientists are now saying that the vaccine, because the vaccine is effective against this variant after all, you have broken that link between infection and hospitalization and death, so that you have fewer people who have been vaccinated or ending up in the hospital. You know, people who have been vaccinated with both doses of the vaccine are not dying from this variant, which is very good news. And I think a consequence of that is that it becomes difficult for people to know what to do about this, because we've been conditioned to be very concerned about trying to stamp out all of these variants. But really what you're now doing is just racing to vaccinate more young people. I think that they've now reached down into people in their 20s who've become eligible for vaccination. And hopefully this will begin to clear up pretty quickly without needing to do all of this very invasive surge testing, and without needing to call in the military, and without needing to lock down big communities, as they continue on the track that they already have been on to expand the reach of the vaccination program.
Joe, you will remember that last winter, I believe, it was fall winter, the months all run together in a pandemic, that there was great concern that the central government in London was discriminating or in some way disregarding regions of the country that were being restricted in a way London was not. And I believe one of them was Manchester. So I'm struck by this fact in the story. This is Telegraph. Military personnel and rapid response teams are being called into parts of northern England in a bid to stem the rampaging Indian Delta variant, as you say. A strengthened package of support will be provided for Greater Manchester and Lancashire, immediately in tandem with local authorities, says the Health Secretary, Matt Hancock. This includes rapid response teams, putting in extra testing, military support, and supervised in-school testing. I mention, Joe, only because Manchester complained loudly that it was being disregarded or not treated on a level playing field last time we talked about it. Is that in the news as well? Is Manchester saying, hey, what about you, London?
This has been the problem throughout, because, you always have these regional tensions, and you always have regional variations in how a pandemic like this will unfold. And I think that the political problem that they ran into last year is that when they imposed the first lockdown that the UK had with so many other countries in March of 2020, infections, cases, and the strain on the medical system was really concentrated in London, in the prosperous parts of the south of the country. And yet, in the face of that situation that was really confined to a few regions, they locked down the entire country. And then, they started reopening, but by that point it was reaching regions like the Manchester area in the north where it had not come before. And the government solution then was to try some sort of regional lockdown up there. And people not unreasonably said, well, hang on a sec. You locked us down when we didn't have it, and now you're locking us down again when we do have it. And meanwhile, you guys are, allowed to reopen in London as long as you don't have it. So what's in it for us, people in the north were saying. And I think that really the legacy of that is creating all kinds of difficulty now. And adding to that, the fact that, increasingly these measures that they're talking about taking there seem really disproportionate to what's happening. We're kind of framing this in terms of, we'll force them to lock down yet again for the fourth or fifth time in some of these regions, just when we're supposed to be emerging from the third national lockdown. But at least we'll throw more money at them, so they'll get more aid or something, and that'll make it okay. These people want to be able to go back to their normal lives. And the problem the government's going to have now is that the more data come in from this variant, the less obvious it is that these folks shouldn't be allowed to return to normal life.
Vaccinations. There now seems to be a division between the continent and Britain. I believe over these last days, Britons have been scrambling to get aircraft from Portugal and other parts of Europe to return home before it's forbidden, because those countries have been removed from the green list. I believe there's not much left on the green list. I looked at it last night, and there wasn't much more than Gibraltar left on the green list. At the same time, I read from the headlines, Britain was admired by the continental Europeans, but now the continental Europeans are booking their holidays, and the Britons are warned to stay at home. Is there noise about this? Because people have committed a lot of money already, and they're being told that they can't go overseas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is becoming a huge embarrassment for the government. I mean, the situation you described with Portugal is that, you know, back in the middle of May, the government had allowed travel again, because for a long period during the third lockdown this winter and spring, any form of international travel was actually illegal. You weren't allowed to leave the country unless you had a relatively small list of exceptions. So they reopened that, and they created this traffic light system so that if you went to a country on the green list, you could go, and then you would not have to self-isolate at home when you came back to the UK. And if you went to a country on the amber list, which is most of the countries in the world, you would have to self-isolate for 10 days when you came home, and you would have to buy hundreds of dollars of tests that you would take on various, you know, days like the second and the fifth and the eighth day after your return. Well, what happened is that Portugal was on the green list where you were allowed to go when it came back. And then suddenly, without warning anyone, they've moved it on to the amber list, which means that anyone who's come back after 10 o'clock on Tuesday morning over here will be required suddenly to self-isolate for 10 days and pay for all of this testing. And, you know, again, the problem with this is that there is no obvious scientific rationale for that, because most parts of Portugal actually have lower infection rates than the UK. And so I think that really the message is the government is trying to discourage Britons from traveling overseas during the summer holiday season, and you have to ask why. Because, I mean, I get that some of the public health authorities would prefer that there was no risk and no cases whatsoever, and we could completely stamp this out and just live happily on ever after on the island in a state of splendid isolation. But that is completely unrealistic. And if you're in this environment where the health system is not under strain, I think the question increasingly is becoming, on what basis are they denying British citizens their historic right to leave the country?
Is it accurate right now, Joe, that they have moved back the date of lifting the sanctions? That has been moved from the original mid-June to later?
They have not committed to anything on that yet. And this is going to be a big test of Boris Johnson's government's resolve and how committed they really are to the science versus how much they are allowing themselves to be led to by what increasingly seems to be really unrealistic safetyism about this. Because what is supposed to happen on June the 21st is all of the remaining social distancing restrictions with lift, which means that the government would lift its official guidance encouraging people to work from home. They would lift any of the remaining capacity constraints on restaurants and pubs. They would lift most of the masking requirements, so that it would be basically the situation that most people in the United States have right now without incident. And yet they are claiming that they might now have to push this back by a couple weeks, and no one can quite say why. I mean, in theory, it might be related to the spread of this new variant, but as we have determined, that is not going to create a crisis in the hospitals before they have an opportunity to continue administering the vaccination to anyone who might be affected by it. So again, I think it's going to be this argument between safetyism and, or on one hand, and a realistic approach to a virus that has basically become endemic at this point, on the other hand.
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column based in London. And when we come back, we're going to the continent because there's a trade war a building. It's about sausages. Is this the remains of Brexit? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.